Hello, beautiful. And what I want to know is, what is really good in your life today? I'm Kia, and this is another episode of the Female Veterans Podcast. Today, I have another beautiful veteran sister with me. Her name is Makissa, and she founded an organization that I just absolutely love. And you know from listening to this show that I love to highlight non-for-profit organizations that help female veterans. This is really important because you never know who's out there that might need this kind of assistance. So without further ado, I want to tell you about my sister, and Makissa is going to share more information about the organization later. But right now, we're going to get into her veteran story because she's a veteran sister like me. So let's find out more about her and what drove her to create such an amazing organization. Welcome to the show, Makissa.
Thank you.
So my first question for you is, what made you join the military?
Okay. I had different times when I was in and out. But the first time I joined was straight out of high school. And I felt I needed to grow up some. I needed some life skills. Mm-hmm. And I figured the military would give me that nice cushion. And it was safe enough to be in there. So that was the first time. But my last time I went in was I needed a little bit of more money to finance my education. And at the time, they were the only organization that had such a big bonus to provide that. So was growing up, and then it was to finance my education.
I feel that. I wanted to finance my education and grow up a bit too. So I completely resonate with that. So what branch did you go in to?
I went into the U.S. Army. And then when I kind of went out, I was in the reserves, and then my final was active duty.
Oh, wow. So what branch did you say?
Army. United States Army.
How was that for you when you first went in, like boot camp and all of that? What was boot camp like for you?
Well, boot camp was not that difficult. What I found more difficult, I guess, is as you get further along, it was the leadership and to prove that as a female that, yeah, you belong here, belong there. Because at the time, there was not a lot of resources for us females. We either had to conform to be like men or be in a subservient role. So it took a lot to get used to when I first got in. That was back in 96, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went in just before you in 94 in the fall, almost 95. So I feel that vibe, but it was different for me in the Navy. I didn't feel any difference initially, you know, in basic. I felt like, you know, it was the girls and the guys, because we were a unit that was half girls and half guys in our company. So I didn't really feel the difference. We had one company commander that was a female and one that was a male. So I didn't get that energy at first. It wasn't until later on down the line that I started to see. And also because I was in a field in as a hospital corpsman where there was a lot of women. So I didn't always feel that, but I would feel sometimes the difference between men and women. And when I was in smaller office spaces and workspaces, and from my friends as well. So in boot camp, did you make any solid connections?
Unfortunately, I did, and then I lost them. Because unfortunately, as you know, back in the 90s, there was no internet or anything of means to keep in contact.
Yeah.
So I lost contact with all those people. However, my friend from high school, she went in shortly after me, so we are still in contact.
Nice.
So we did keep in contact, but our paths are different. Mm-hmm. So I realized that the path went different.
Yeah. And that happens a lot. I feel like I had so many, like, I felt like by the end of boot camp, those girls were like my sisters. And then we parted ways. And it's unfortunate because you just, you know, especially at that time, you just never saw them again, you know?
No, a lot of females are fortunate now that they have social media and a means to keep in contact. And I'm even seeing that they can have their cell phones so they can exchange numbers. And yeah, and plus when I went active duty for the first time, it was Germany. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So you said you did reserves first?
I did active reserves.
Okay, active, reserves, active. Okay, and the first time you were active, you went into Germany.
Yes.
Okay, so what was that like?
Actually, it was the hardest thing because I went in to grow up some, mm-hmm. and it made me realize, yes, I did need to grow up some. I was very scared, so I didn't even get to see much of Germany because I was too afraid to leave the post and everything. But I always wanted to do education, so I was able to do some classes and try to find a way to fit that in. But I felt I didn't take advantage of what Germany had to offer. Mm-hmm. I could have used my time a lot wisely.
Okay. So what was your active experience like the first time? Like, did you feel, you know, happy in Germany? Did you have a great experience? Did you meet the friends?
As I said, not really a great experience. I realized that I came out with not feeling that it was for me in a sense. Mm-hmm. I felt that, unfortunately, I had trauma in Germany. So it was not the best situation, but I felt it was because I was younger. But now that I'm older, I realize age had nothing to do with it. It just had to do with the environment of me being a female. So I could have been a lot older and the same thing could have happened. So I was young and naive in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that you had to experience that at such a young age. No one deserves to be put in a situation where, you know, they have to experience trauma in an organization where they believe that they're going to be safe, you know. And it is always upsetting mm-hmm. to me to hear when my sisters talk about their experiences in the military and when they've experienced some type of situation like a military sexual trauma or harassing or a stalker even. I mean, when I spoke to two girls this year that had stalkers, and I was blown away by it. And it sounds really naive. And like, even at my age now, it's really naive because I never thought that, I don't know why I would have never thought that, imagined that that could happen, but it happened and it happens. And so
right.
it's just, you know, always upsetting for me to hear. And so I'm sorry that that happened to you, especially when you were so young and you had to deal with that.
Thank you. But it makes me stronger, though.
Yes. And I'm sure it's part of the reason why you're passionate about helping other veteran females.
Yeah. Well, I also, one of the reasons why I even started my organization was I realized there needed to be more education. There was not a lot of education given us to female coming out, especially when I came out the first time, because the assumption was the male was the veteran, not the female.
Right.
I remember distinctly that I had, when I was trying to go to school, I was saying that I was independent and I was in the military. They couldn't wrap their head around that concept. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons. And then me dealing with my trauma, there was not a lot of help for me. There was not a lot of groups or anything that existed. If they did, they were not known. So it caused me to have to find a lot of things on my own. So that experience caused me to say, hey, I'm going to make it easier for the next female coming up.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I definitely feel that. And so when you got out the first time, what was your transition like?
In a way, it was like a lot of things under the surface because I was able to do the school. I was, but then I was doing the same things, all I knew, the bad behaviors of Germany and everything. I didn't deal with my trauma because I didn't know that I had trauma to deal with, in a sense, if that makes sense. Because I was functioning, but I was hurting. Right. And I didn't know why I was hurting. And no one knew why I was hurting. And no one thought to ask why I was hurting because I was a female. And there's no possible way you could be hurting because you were a female and you really didn't do much in the military. In fact, that's kind of how the tone it was. So awesome. I was able to do some school, but it was a ticking time bomb. Mm-hmm. I was bound to collapse. And I eventually did collapse because I needed help, but no one thought to say, hey, you need help.
Wow. Did you tell anybody about the trauma when you came out, like family or anyone at all? Or was it one of those that you were just like carrying inward and just trying to maintain?
It's the one I carried inward because I blamed a lot of it on myself. In fact, until recently, and this has all had to do with age and education, another reason why I have the nonprofit, mm-hmm. I thought it was my fault. I felt if I was this, then this would not happen. Mm-hmm. I thought I put myself in that situation. So I blamed a lot on myself. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't tell anyone because, hey, I was at fault. And I also felt that I deserved this. So a lot of the issues I was dealing with, I felt like, yeah, I deserved it.
Wow. So that's so heartbreaking. And it's never the case, though. It's never the case that you deserve to be treated that way, you know, and you're a survivor. And, you know, you were able to come out and help other women, you know, and that's amazing. You know, that's amazing. It's heartbreaking to me personally to hear that my sister suffer in this way, carrying this guilt or shame or negative emotion inside for so many years when the guys 9 out of 10, like, get away with it. You know, and
yeah, they
so
do.
Damaging. It's so damaging for the female who has to now go through the rest of her life trying to heal this and live with this. So it's very upsetting to me to know that you had to experience that. But I'm so happy that you found a way to, you know, take that experience and do great work for other women.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So after you got out the first time, what made you decide to go back into the reserves?
I felt that I could handle it. I felt I was stronger. And then I also realized that, hey, I still had time because that's another thing. They don't tell you that you have 8 years total, that kind of contract. So mm-hmm. You still had time on your contract. And I felt I was a lot stronger. I got some therapy and I figured, hey, I can deal with this a lot better than I did before. So that's why.
And what was your experience like? I never served in reserves, so I don't know.
Well, my experience caused me to go to Iraq because they got mobilized like that. I picked a winner.
Was it right after 9/11?
It was right after 9/11, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to write it out until my contract ends, and mm-hmm. I have nothing to worry about. I'm just going to be able to go 1 week a month, and that was it. And then we got deployed, and the deployment, compared to my active duty, was not that bad. It was just, mm-hmm. it was just scary. It was hearing the mortars. I still kind of jump when I hear mm-hmm. fireworks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was a lot stronger stronger than I was when I was in active duty. So I handled it a lot better. I handled it a lot way better than I did before.
That's amazing. And so then you just kind of went through your time then and got out again.
Well, this time when I went with the reserves, I got to see the other part of it, the transition of the female soldier. This time I saw how that there's not a lot of resources still for us. There's still, you could serve, but, and they will send you back home, but some people didn't have a home to come back to. I got to see that a lot. It was more apparent than anything, because keep in mind, they're reservists. So a lot of them were just going, we're not really having a place to live or anything. They're just living day by day. And while you were active, you had a bed to sleep in. But once you're not active anymore, you have to go back to that same environment. So it was very eye-opening. The deployment was not that bad, but coming home, yes, they thanked us for our service and everything, but that's all they did.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you don't pay bills.
No, it surely doesn't. It surely doesn't. And that's one of the things that I really am bothered by now, and I think we all are, that, you know, I don't think that you should, you know, deploy and serve your country. You know, we all swear in and we become property of the United States government. I mean, we don't even have rights anymore, right? And then we come back and we can't even get our basic needs met.
You know? Exactly.
And the resources that are available, we're not like properly educated on how to get them.
So, no, that's one of the things that I want to do with my nonprofit, because they still do it when I got out in 2010. They still just send you home.
Mm-hmm.
They still, to this day, send you home.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's like that 3 days of taps. But I had a guest who said it really eloquently. She was like, you know, you have, you know, your weeks of boot camp, maybe 8 weeks, and you get 3 days of out processing. So it's like, you don't get the proper time and education to sort of deprogram and go back into civilian life knowing how to function. And it's a completely different world, which is what I found out when I came out. I struggled.
Yes.
So I feel that, you know. And so what was it like for you when you came out in 2010?
Well, when I came out in 2010, a lot stronger. I was more knowledgeable and more determined. I was determined to, because I had the deployment and I survived that, and I survived the first duty station, and I survived the military.
Mm-hmm.
I came back determined that I was going to do better this time. Mm-hmm. And with that doing better, I was going to go reach back and help another female veteran not fall through all the cracks that I did. Because unfortunately, when you got out, they just said, okay, you're going home, assuming you have a home to go to,
mm-hmm.
and survive. So I decided I was going to go to finish my school, got my master's. I did that.
Congratulations.
And thank you. But there was no employment for a veteran, really. I mean, all they said was thank you for your service, but we're not going to hire you still. So there was still not a lot of opportunities. But I felt while I'm looking for work, I can go ahead and volunteer and try to help the next female veteran going through the system, because they're just not educating us. They're not telling us what to do or how the VA, there's services there and there's group therapy and there's wounded warriors. They don't tell you about that. So I made it like, okay, I'm not working now, so might as well use my time wisely. So that's how it was in 2010. Hopefully it's better now, but I don't think so, because I still see a lot of female veterans lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and that's only 10 years ago. So
yeah, it is only 10 years ago.
And to me, having come out, you know, a little more or a little less than 10 years before that, it's just incredible to think that it could still be such an issue. Like, not much has changed to move this forward in a productive way for female veterans and for veterans in general. You know,
yeah, unfortunately. Because they do a lot of PTSD and talk about suicide awareness and how the 2020, but you have to be part of that community. Unless you're part of a community, then you don't get a buddy check or someone doesn't look in on you. And unfortunately, sometimes your family members just don't know that you're suffering or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel maybe they need to do something better with CAP to help soldiers know that, hey, these are the resources available to you. Or the people who are saying thank you for the service, try to do more than just say thank you. Mm-hmm. Give them an opportunity to shine or something. Mm-hmm. Because too many of us are homeless, too many of us are unemployed, and we want to work and we don't want to be hurting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I feel that. I mean, I'm always saying, you know what? I will never understand why people wouldn't prioritize hiring veterans. We're trained. We have leadership skills, no matter what rank you are. You have leadership skills to some extent. You're team oriented, you're goal oriented, you have attention to detail. Like, there's so many pluses to hiring veterans, which is why for me, for a time when veterans couldn't be hired, where I had to like take it off my resume, it was so demoralizing. And you know, when everyone started saying thank you for your service to veterans, that was like what I thought at the time, a really good start. But it's where we still are.
Right. Unfortunately, yes. That's where we still are. And I feel some, not all, some people say thank you for your service and they feel, okay, I did that, so leave me alone kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like when they say, oh, active duty personnel in uniform get to board first. Mm-hmm. You want to see them in the uniform, but you resent the fact that they get to board first, that kind of thing. And at least in Miami, I find your military service, it doesn't give you any clout. Your experience doesn't really matter. It does, because they're looking for a veteran who can also speak Spanish, who also doesn't have PTSD and no trauma. They want the super veteran with no issues.
Does that exist?
And that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
They're looking for a fairy tale. We're all going to come with something. We have been programmed. You know, we have been through boot camp. We have been through other things. Many of us now, because of all of these endless wars, have been into a deployment where they were actively in danger, you know, all day with the mortars flying. And then you've experienced that. So you're not, one way or another, you're going to be affected by the stress of the environment. I mean, even in peacetime, you have other stressors. When I serve,
of course, yeah, peacetime is not
right. So, and then you come out and you want to work, you want to do these things, but you find it difficult. And that's how a lot of our sisters end up on the street. A lot of them have PTSD or some other trauma, MST. And a lot of us, I'm finding from interviewing women, not just on the podcast, but I talk to a lot of women outside of the podcast who may not feel comfortable to share their story, but they want to share it with me or they want to just talk about it. And I'm finding that a lot of us had difficult upbringings. And so we left to the military to sort of change our life or change the trajectory of what we were going through. And then imagine a girl like that who puts her faith in that establishment to give her a foundation or a good start in life. And then she is assaulted. And then she comes out and she is not the same. She's struggling with that. And maybe she lands homeless because she doesn't have a home to go to because that's what she was escaping by going to the military, right?
Exactly.
And then this woman is on the streets, but she served her country, maybe two tours in Iraq or Afghanistan or something. And she did her part. She did what she signed up to do, but now she's forgotten. And it's so upsetting to me, which is why, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing and why you're doing what you're doing. And speaking of that, will you please tell us more about how you came to form my sister? Am I saying that right?
My sister.
My sister.
No, it's kind of, that's how my sister says it. I call her the OG, the original sister. She says, I'm her sister. It was formed after me seeing so much of my fellow female veterans not knowing where to go, not having the resources, and me getting tired of complaining about it. After a while, you have to be the change you want to see. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate the thank you for the service, but I was getting tired of that's all that I was getting. Mm-hmm. And I felt that, okay, I know I was working as a disabled veteran outreach program specialist, and I was learning so much from that job. I was learning about unemployment and how resources and all of that stuff. And I figured, what if the female veteran had one place they can go to get this information? And it was not trying to knock wounded warriors, but it was to be in addition to. So it was formed from that mindset that I can add to what the female veteran has. Mm-hmm. And hopefully by adding to what a female veteran has, that female veteran can add to what another female veteran might need, and it will go on and go on. Because I also see the numbers too. We're the second, female veterans are the highest growing homeless group. Mm-hmm. So I saw that. And then in Florida, we're the second largest population. But they're just not really like shelters for us. Mm-hmm. There's not really care. So I was like, I can change that. So I decided to do so.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
And so tell me what the services are that my sister provides.
You got it. See, it gives you a happy space, like it when does. You say. The services are for whatever a female veteran needs. I will try, or the organization will try, to point them in the right direction, or if not, provide it itself. So if you need hygiene products, because I gave out that, because I noticed that a lot of, unfortunately, female veterans need hygiene products, because when they're on the street, they don't have it.
That's right.
Or if they need education help, because unfortunately, a lot of us don't know about the education process, about the GI bills and how there's a different from Montgomery to the forever, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So all of that resources, if you need help just to function and to get from, okay, I'm off the plane now, and I'm now in the civilian, where do I go? This will be your resource for that. It'll tell you about the VA, because a lot of female veterans don't want to identify as a veteran, unfortunately, mm-hmm. because they're told it's not for them. But the VA, it does provide health care for us. So they need to take advantage of that, because health care is not something we should just put under the rug, because it's going to be a bigger problem in the future. So it provides that kind of information and mentorship, someone to talk to, because sometimes that's all you need, mm-hmm. someone to listen to you and just be there. So all of those services, and it's going to be in addition to all those other organizations that are well known, because we're not trying to compete. We're just trying to be another resource for female veterans of South Florida.
That's beautiful. You know, like I said at the beginning of this episode, I love to highlight not-for-profits, organizations that do work for female veterans. And I recently interviewed Virginia Giordano from the Barbara Giordano Foundation up in New York. And they are amazing also. And I'm going to try to paraphrase what she said. And she said, it's not a competition. We need to all form an alliance so that everyone can get the help that they need. And I loved that so much because it's so true. There are organizations all over the United States that help female veterans. And if we did all connect with each other, and I'm creating one right now, that we could definitely help so many of these women get off the streets. Like, it's as simple as going to the dollar store and making a care package to pass out hygiene products, like you said. You know, when I was at the outreach center in Los Angeles, Sharon, the coordinator, said, you know, put a lip gloss in there, a little tiny perfume, just something that will lift their spirits up because they're at the lowest point in their life. And I felt that, like, I feel that. And like Virginia said, if we are, all of our organizations are working together, then we can get more accomplished. And like you said, it's not a competition. It's an addition to what's out there so that there's just more and more help for our sisters that are coming out of the service. More and more of us every day are women.
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yes. So, okay. Well, before we wrap this up, I have a few more questions for you.
Okay.
Tell me where we can get in contact with your organization if we were to need help.
Okay. There's a number of places. I'm always on the internet. So you can find me on Facebook, and it's spelled M as in Mike, Y as in Yankee, S as in Sierra, E as in Echo, E as in Echo, S as in Sierra, T as in Tango, E as in Echo, R as in Romeo. You can find that on Facebook. I also have an Instagram thing, which I kind of am updating constantly. So you can find me there at M as in Mike, Y as in Yankee, _ S as in Sierra, E as in Echo, E as in Echo, S as in Sierra, T as in Tango, E as in Echo, R as in Romeo. And finally, if you want to talk to me directly, and I do respond to all my emails, you can find me at Founder, and that's F as in Foxtrot, O as in Oscar, U as in Uniform, N as in November, D as in Delta, E as in Echo, R as in Romeo, at. And then that is M as in Mike, Y as in Yankee, S as in Sierra, E as in Echo, E as in Echo, S as in Sierra, T as in Tango, E as in Echo, and R as in Romeo.com. Wow, I remembered them. So you can find me that way. Or you can find me under my name, which is Makissa Lewis, M-A-K-I-S-S-A, or L-E-W-I-S is my last name. And just reach out. If I'm in South Florida, but if you need resources in other places, I know other sisters, and I'll try to get you in contact with them. Because I really believe one of the problems is that we don't know, and we don't communicate, and we don't do that sisterhood thing. We need to go back to that, because the sisterhood is strong when it works together.
Mm, beautifully, beautifully said. I agree with that 1,000%. And now I just want to make sure everyone knows that the information that she spelled out for you, I will put that in the description box, the show notes of the episode, so that you can.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And find her easily if you need her. If you simply just want to find more about her information or her organization, you want to find her information, or you want to donate. So we'll have all that information there. And
yeah, donations are good.
Yes, donations are good. So find out more there in the show notes, of course. And my last question for you is, what advice do you have for our sisters who are coming up behind us, coming out now? What would you tell them to help them thrive in life?
Advice. Have a plan, I guess. That's like what is your end game? I find if you know what your end game is, then it's easier for when someone says, how can I help you? They can help you find get to that point. So if your end game is to raise your family healthy, then they can find you resources to help you raise your family. So be able to help yourself by having a plan so someone else can come in and say, hey, I can add to that. So I advise any female veteran or soon to be female veteran, go with a plan of what you're trying to accomplish. And that would help a person who's trying to help you guide you. That's my advice.
That's great advice too. And is there anything else you want to share before we wrap it up for today?
It's Black History Month, and on my Instagram page, I'm trying to highlight Black kings and queens. And I call Black kings or queens just people who normally don't get highlighted. It's not the MLKs of the world, because mm-hmm. I feel we know about them.
Yes.
But to highlight what their accomplishments and what they're doing, and they might inspire others. So I'm doing that for this Black History Month. It's something new I'm doing. So far, the female is up. The female queen is up. I'm waiting on the king to give me the information, but you know how men are. Anyway, and I'll be posting that so you can feel inspired and you can contact them for this Black History Month. So check it out.
Amazing. Well, definitely all have to go check that out. It's really a lovely thing to do. In fact, I'm actually going to do something quite similar on my live show that I do, Hot Topics, and we're going to select someone to honor for Black History Month as well. So I love that idea. It's a beautiful one.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. And so I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it more than you know. Just to spend time with you and get to know you and hear your story and hear all the wonderful advice that you have laid out through the course of this whole interview, actually, and then the really golden piece you just gave. I appreciate you so much for it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So you guys, check out My Sister and help this organization grow and help more of our sisters, especially if you're in the South Florida area. And I want to thank you all so much for coming on this journey with me. Continue to listen and support this podcast so it can continue to grow. And I appreciate you so much. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next time.